The Veil TV. Live streaming TV made by psychics, for psychics, helping others around the world. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Through the Veil TV. I am Kat, and today's guest we have Florentine. How are you?
Hello everyone, Florentine here. I'm great. I'm excited to be on the show. Excited to connect with your audience and teach them a little bit about astral projection.
Yeah. So what is astral projection? Oof,
such a big, big question. What is astral projection? Well, there's different ways to explain it. And the way I like to explain this thing is getting a bit technical about it. So you all have, you know, everyone knows dreams. And some people also have had lucid dreams. So I know you have a dream. It's like it's your own little simulated reality that you explore, and you are the one that is creating the reality, and you're also the one that is exploring the reality. So it's like a subjective experience where you have a dream, and anything can happen in a dream. There's just no rules. Everything can happen, right? And then a lucid dream is when you are aware that you are actually in a dream, and you are then becoming lucid, and you can control the dream. You can control the colors of the walls. You can control the everything, pretty much. You can just take control of that dream. And it's still your subjective reality where you are just exploring your own creation. And so it's like an internal thing with that. Now, astral projection, you're going beyond yourself. You can go into other planes and other dimensions. So you can see that you have your own kind of, your mind and your consciousness is like one dimension that you can visit and you can explore and you can create things. And then you can go outside of that dimension and explore other collective dimensions, which will be then objective reality, where you have other beings, other worlds, countless other worlds that you can communicate with and learn from. So a bit like how we use the internet today to connect with each other and to other things. There's, you know, the internet has expanded so much, and we've just created internet like, you know, a couple of years ago, and look at how it is right now, how massive it is and how we use it for so many things. Now think about the universe has been around for who knows how long time. And so the universe has its own internet. And it works in this kind of like wireless way where everything is connected through this quantum field. And through astral projection, you can travel through this web or through this infinite stream of consciousness to explore and to learn and to grow.
It's amazing. It's so interesting. And how does it help someone on their spiritual journey?
How does it help someone? Well, it's first of all, it's a really a shift in perspective and shift of it's a new, completely different way of seeing things. You know, your shift of your reality will shift away from like being this physical person that's born on the planet, and depending on your belief system, of course. But like, you know, there is this belief system that we are just here for no reason, and we're just randomly, evolution just popped us out, and here we are. We have no purpose, and we grow and we do things, and then we die and we disappear, and there's no point to anything.
You know, that's kind of like,
you know, and it's quite a depressive scientific way of seeing life. And that is the kind of conventional way of seeing things. Now, when you understand astral projection, when you astral project, and when you read about this, and when you explore astral projection and start researching this field, you then start realizing how much more there is to reality and to yourself, and how this is just one lifetime of many other lifetimes, and how this lifetime correlates with the other lifetime, and how you're here on a spiritual journey. And so the focus shifts away from, like, you know, the physical aspects of life that society tells you this is important, you know, this is important, get the house, get the car, or get the I don't know, the family and kids, and that's it, that's like what life is about. And then you realize there's so much more to life, and your focus becomes then at actually growing your soul, evolving your soul, because you know that when you die here, the only thing you're going to have with you, you're not going to have the car and the house and all that stuff. You're going to leave that behind, right? The only thing you're going to have with you is what you've learned, what you've grown, what you've done, what good deeds you've done for others. All of those lessons you'll take with you into the next life, into the next growing experience. And so it's a complete shift of focus in what you're doing in your reality, in your physical life, going from the kind of materialistic way of seeing things into a more spiritual way of seeing things. And the biggest difference when it comes to astral projection and other things, other spiritual concepts and things that are out there, is that astral projection it's not just a belief system like a religion. It's also a direct way to actually experience these things for yourself, to get your own proof. Because otherwise, it's just another religion, like where you just talk about these cool things. It sounds really awesome, but it's just a belief. And with astral projection, you can actually go out there and have experiences that can confirm these things to you, so you can actually really get a real understanding for yourself, a conviction that you will continue after physical death, that you are more than a physical body, and that you can see, you know, friends or family members that have passed away in the afterlife when they do. You don't have to worry about them being gone. Like, there's so many, many things that then changes, because now you have that direct experience and you can actually go ahead and verify it for yourself, not just trust the Pope or someone else that's religious or a figure out there that's going to tell you things, but actually you going out there and checking it for yourself.
Yeah. And when you astro travel, I've heard, you know, people have said to me, you know, you've got to anchor yourself because you might get trapped in another world. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I mean, it's funny because there's so many like scary stories that appear here and there. And, you know, the truth is that people actually do this it's very common to naturally do this at night, like spontaneously. People have spontaneous experiences all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes people remember them and they're like, whoa, that was interesting that this and this happened. Sometimes people just remember it as if it was a dream, because they had an experience and then they fell, you know, they fell unconscious, they fell into a sleep. And then when they wake up, it's like they have some memories of flying and doing different things, but they just kind of discard it off as a dream. But it could in fact have been a projection somewhere. And so we actually do this naturally every night, more or less, and depending on the person, all of that kind of stuff. And so think about how many nights you actually sleep in a lifetime, and then think about how many times you've come back from sleep and how many times you've got trapped somewhere. Right?
Anyone can astro that.
So yeah, so you always return back to the body.
Oh, that's good to know.
And I know that's one of the top fears. And to be honest, I think that comes from some myth or some, I think probably some religious influence where, you know, I don't know if maybe the church was like, you know, we don't want people to go out there and have these experiences and find out that they don't need the Pope to tell them what to do. You know, for political reasons, it's easier to control people if you actually have one source of information instead of teaching them how to go out there and find out the truths from themselves. So then what you do, you can just scare them off by saying, hey, if you do it, you might not return to your body. You might get possessed by demons, all these scary things that is going to happen to you. So then that keeps people, of course, away from doing it because they're scared of doing it. But what you find is that people that practice this on a regular basis and that are facing these experiences, they always come back, and it's not a dangerous practice. You cannot get hurt. As a matter of fact, being in the physical is more dangerous than being in the non-physical, because in the physical, we can go out on the street and we can get driven over by a car, or we might be in a dark alley. There's like maybe three guys that wants to rob you or hit you or hurt you somehow. And in the physical body, you're like, okay, you either have to run away or you have to fight or hide. You know, it's scary. You can get hurt. You can get injured. You can die physically. However, in a non-physical state, you are super powerful. You can fly away. You can teleport. And if you really don't want to be in a place, you can just think of your body and you will return in a second. And it's too easy to return to the body. The challenge is to get out of the body. To return is so easy that sometimes it's frustrating, because just the thought of your bed or your body will just like suck you back. And you're like, oh, damn it. I wish I could stay up longer.
I've been in a dream where I've had to get out of it, a dangerous dream. And I've thought of my body and I've gone back and I've woken up.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And now you've got classes teaching about astro and everything. What else do you teach?
So your question is about how I teach these things and how it works and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So what I discovered, and so just going back a little bit more, personally, I've always been, like, since early childhood, I wasn't gifted with any spiritual gifts. Like, I couldn't see auras. I wasn't born with the ability to astral project. I had none of these things happen. And but what I did have was this, like, since I was a baby, I had this thing that I wanted to figure out how things worked. I would look at something like back then it was like tape recorders. I would look at them like, it's music coming from this box. How is it possible? So I would just open everything and break everything. For the first couple of years of my my childhood, I would just break everything. And then slowly I started to figure out how they work. Yeah. And I could then put them back together, and I was starting to fix different anything that would sort of break. I wouldn't understand how it works and how I can fix it. So that was something that really created throughout my practice throughout my life, problem solving. So, finding solutions to things. And so when I started to learn this practice, this astral projection practice, I went to different retreats. I learned from different teachers. I went to different workshops and stuff like this, but there were still so many things that didn't really make sense. And there was a lot of questions about how this practice is, how you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to do with your mind, with your body, with your energy body. There's so many factors to the practice. And I realized, whoa, it's just complicated. And when you practice, you end up a lot of times getting frustrated because you don't know what you're doing right, and you don't know what you're doing wrong. You're just kind of, sometimes people meditate trying to get into this state and they fall asleep, or they just meditate for hours and nothing happens. And then you just kind of get confused because you don't know what you're supposed to do. And I was definitely in that position for, like maybe 8 years ago now or something like that. And I started to, using my ability to analyze things and to work things out and find solutions, I started to to really record every single practice that I was doing and really analyze the thing on a very technical basis. And I started to develop my own tools, my own soundtracks, my own systems to create tools that would help me to get into this state. So, when we are awake, I like to say we're like somewhere here. And when we're asleep, we're somewhere, here. And the astral projection state is somewhere around here. So it's very, very close to sleep. And to get into the state can be quite tricky. And so what I discovered was that I'm not gifted with these abilities to get into the state. I'm not a master meditator. I'm not like a monk or anything. So I couldn't just get into the state just lying in bed and in silence. I needed some sort of help. So I created my own tools that would help me to get into this state and to have focus while being in the state without losing it and falling asleep. And once I started to get results, I started to realize that I was able to now master to trigger these projections on a regular basis, because I figured out all the steps I need to take, and I was then attuned to that. Then I realized that, oh, this is something that took me some time to discover, and is pretty useful, not just for me, but for anyone that would like to learn about how to get into the state. And I then started to look into the idea of teaching this, and I realized that a lot of people are struggling because you have books, great books, and you have videos, great videos on YouTube, and they are amazing at inspiring you and showing you what's possible and showing you what experiences you could have, and they're really good for that. However, when it comes to actually learn it on a personal basis, I found that there's so many details to the practice and it's so personal that one solution, one way of doing things doesn't really help the masses, like the majority of people. So when you have this one method that you see in the book, that could work for one person, for maybe five, maybe 10, but you have to really look on a personal basis. So what I do with the way I teach is that I sit with the person on a, you know, face-to-face like this, and I'm able to really go really deep with how they're doing the practice. And so really technical, like, you know, we have a system where we track every single time they practice. We then, they have to then track, they have to record their practice in the system. You know, when they ask, they answered some questions like what time they went to sleep, when they woke up, you know, which meditation they used, and loads of questions like that. And we track all of these, and we'll look at each of the projections as an experiment that they do with themselves to find out what is going to work for them. Because like I said before, people are different. Not everyone will get vibrations. Not everyone will hear sounds in their ear or see visions. Like, everyone's going to have different things that's going to happen. And by tracking them and working in this systematic way together, we're able to troubleshoot and fine tune all the different ingredients that has to go into this experiment, so the experiment becomes successful. And once they have a successful attempt where they project, you know, then we look at all the things that they did right, and we focus then on, you know, repeating the things that went right and ignoring the things that weren't successful. And at that point, we create what I like to call a projection blueprint, which is the blueprint of what makes projection possible for you, because everyone is different.
So you do one-on-one, not group classes. You actually do one-on-one.
Yes, I do some group stuff as well.
Okay.
But I, 99% of the time I spend doing it one-on-one. Because most people want that, because most people come to me not because they, you know, they want me to send them a PDF with the instruction, but because they want to work with me on a one-on-one basis so they can ask their questions, you know, so they can tell me about their lifestyle, the way they sleep, when they have to go to work. Maybe they have a family, they have kids that are going to make some noise. How do you deal with life and the practice the most effective way? So I found that working in this way, working in this personal face-to-face way with people through coaching, is the most effective to actually get them to have the experience. And just sending them like a book or a PDF to read will most likely not make them succeed, unfortunately.
And when you astro travel, like, so before you fall asleep, I've got to ask you something about that, because some people say they can astro travel awake.
Yeah.
Right. But when you astro travel, I'll ask you this first. Can you control where you go?
Right. That's a really good question. So how does it feel, and how do you control it? So it's nothing like a game or a movie or something like that. It's not external. It is external because you're looking at things and everything. It's the best thing to say is that it's very much like physical reality. Like you're completely immersed in the environment that you go into, and it feels very 3D-ish because you have up and down, left and right. You're able to look to the left, to the right. You can look up and down. You can move freely in any direction that you want. And you move with your sort of will of moving this way, moving that way. You don't necessarily walk. You can walk, but you can also just float to places, or you can just fly to places. But you have full control over where you're moving. And you can get to places. The fastest way to get to places is not by actually, you know, moving there, you know, flying from one city to another. It will take a while. Even though you can go very fast, it can take a while if you're going to do it that way. It's more efficient if you actually think of a place and then make an intention to go there, and then you can sort of open the door, and the door can be as a, you know, serve as a portal that will take you to that place. Or you can just like make a strong intention of that you want to be taken somewhere, because sometimes you might not know what the place looks like or anything. Maybe you just want to see your deceased father, right? So you might just make that intention, like, take me to my father now. And if you make that intention firmly with confidence, you will start feeling that you're drifting really, really fast in a certain direction. And at that point, you have to make sure that you keep the same thought and do not get distracted along the way. Because if you then you see something really cool on the way, like, oh, wow, that's a beautiful forest, you'll then just immediately fly to that forest. So you have to keep your thoughts focused on that same goal when you set the intention.
Okay.
And just one more thing to mention about that, the experience, how it feels, it's really amazing. It's like you don't have the weight of the physical body. You know, when you move, there's a weight that you always feel like, oh, I'm moving something that's heavy. It's like there's no weights whatsoever. You're just light as a feather, and it's okay. And you're just, you know, you can get to places very quickly because there's no weight being thrown around, and you are able to have different ways of sensing reality. You can have different ways of seeing things. You can have like a heat vision where you see, you know, kind of like a reddish tone on things. You can see energy. There's different modes how the visual aspect works, because you don't see with your eyes. Physical eyes are not with you. They're in the bed, so you're seeing with your non-physical eyes, your third eye perhaps, and with that organ or that non-physical organ, things look very vibrant, very colorful. It's like everything is alive in a very beautiful way. And you can also hear things that are super far away from you that you would never be able to hear with your physical ears. And you can smell things that are far away. You can taste things that are far away. Like your senses are very expanded, and the experience can feel even more real than the physical reality. You can have experiences where you're like, wow, this felt so much more real. I felt every single piece of that forest. It was like a part of me somehow. And so it's definitely an experience that everyone needs to have.
It's amazing. And I've had people say over the years that they can astro when they're awake. Is that true?
Over the years, if people astral project when they're awake,
it's
true that you can. You realize that what is happening when you astral project, what is really happening is that your consciousness is shifting away from your physical body, from the physical dimension, from the physical altogether. So it's like a shift in frequency. In the same way that you can have a radio that you can dial from different channels, your consciousness is sort of able to dial from one frequency, from one dimension, from the physical, to another frequency. And this is easiest done when the physical body is at sleep, because then it's much easier to just shift your frequency like that. And that's what we do with when we ask to project in the normal ways. But there are ways to do it also sitting and, you know, having a physical body, being awake and actually being able to see things that are not a part of this physical world. Not many people can do that, however. That's quite a unique thing, and not everyone is prone to be able to have that ability as easily, but it's definitely doable. And I have one student right now who has the ability to actually shift her focus from, you know, watching TV to suddenly start seeing things in the room that like a portal in the room opening. And then she can choose to actually look at that and focus on that portal, which will then immerse completely, surround her into this other realm. And she's able to look around and kind of like, okay, interesting. And then she can put it aside if she wants to and focus on the physical. So she's getting very loose between dimensions in a way where she's able to shift very easily from dimension to dimension.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, but it's quite difficult. Usually the physical body can be quite a distractive force in that.
Yeah, I always got told when I grow up, a dream, it's just in your head. But I never believed it because I used to fly a lot. And that was so real. I used to fly the high rises and it was just so real. I just couldn't see it was all in my hair. It was like I left my body.
Yeah, that could have been an astral projection. It could have been a lucid dream. Could have been a dream. It could have been an experience that you had in your own created little universe, or you could potentially also explore other realities. Sometimes, it can be hard to tell. When you come into these states from sleep, it could be hard to tell what exactly it was when you come back. However, when you go into this state from awakened state, from being, being fully awake and then meditating yourself into this state and then reaching these vibrational fields, states, and then being able to then project, still being conscious all the way, and then project out, and then having your full wakeful consciousness with you, so you remember who you are. You remember that you're practicing that you're out of body, that you're practicing this. Yeah. You remember that. You remember your goals. Maybe you set, which is usually why I teach people to always have a set of goals or plans of actions, plan A, plan B, plan C. Where they know, okay, as soon as I get a body, I have to go first for plan A. That's the top thing on my list, which might be meeting my spirit guide. I want to meet my spirit guide, ask them some questions about my life. And so when you do that, the sensation is really it's really powerful, and you bring with you your full consciousness. And you don't have this kind of half awake, half asleep state where you're like in a sleepy state where you because sometimes when you have dreams, you don't really you come back and you're like, what? How could I even believe that was real? How did I not capture the fact that there was a dinosaur in my living room or this and this happened? Because you were not fully awake in that experience. You were not fully awake to see what was going on. But when you do it through a meditated, intentional way, you can get into these states with full clarity, with full conscious clarity, and then you can just navigate it as you intended to. And that's when it becomes really useful and powerful as a tool, because you can then use that as a tool for self-exploration or for also exploring beyond yourself to gain knowledge about life, about yourself, about maybe your past lifetimes, how that affects you in this lifetime, maybe contracts, spiritual contracts you made that might affect you in this lifetime. You can get answers to questions because you have then brought with you a very clear intention into the state that you then remember, and you can then start working on that. And you can do that every night. You can just have multiple things that you want to work on every night, and then get into these states and start working on those things. Another thing that can be quite powerful is to work with healing, healing of yourself or healing of others. And that's a really huge field that is very interesting to explore. It hasn't been explored enough. But for example, I know a guy who has been able to, he had a skin disease that he tried to heal with conventional ways, you know, medicines. He tried different experts, different creams. Nothing worked. And at the same time, he was learning how to astroproject. And he decided that, hey, maybe I could try to heal my skin problem with astroprojection somehow. So after a few attempts, he actually successfully managed to have an experience where he created this sort of healing cream that he put on himself. And that was kind of it. That experience disappeared. That was an interesting experience. He didn't know if it worked. But 2 weeks after, he noticed that his skin problem faded away. It was like a gradual thing. So somehow we don't understand how this really works, but his skin probably hasn't come back since. Like, he's healed that. And we don't know how powerful this stuff is. Like, we don't know how many things these type of healings can heal. Maybe it can heal cancer. Maybe not. Maybe it can just heal skin problems. We don't know. Like, a lot more research needs to be done in this area, but it's so interesting.
So, I was going to say to you, have you ever had a dream where you're falling? I'm sure you have. And you wake up just before you hit the bottom.
Are you falling and you wake up just before you hit the bottom? Yeah. I think I've had a few of those. Or you're just about to die or something, and then you wake up.
When you wake up, when I wake up from the falling ones, I can actually remember feeling myself fall. I wake up and I feel like I've just fallen.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes when you have that, you know, that when you're sleeping and you have that sort of jolt that you have sometimes, that could be, you know, when you're falling asleep, your astral body or your energy body, as we call it, would go out of sync with the physical. It will sort of like go out of phase a little bit, perhaps hover above the bed. And a lot of times when you have this jolt, it can be the result of the energy body just relocating itself in the physical. And there's like a jolt because you just got connected again to the physical body.
Very interesting. Yeah. So you teach all of this? You teach all of this you teach it all about us doing.
Well, there's so much there's so much to teach, so I cannot teach all of it, but I focus on what is going to help people to have the experience, because there's so much to learn about astral projection, you know. There's so many things, but I think that there are great resources to learn what you can expect, what you can, you know, what kind of experiences you can have. There's a lot of inspiring books for that kind of stuff. But like I said before, like what I've seen the most difficult for people to learn on their own is how to practically do it for themselves. And so I focus all my energy on that. Like, okay, how can we make it happen for you? Okay, what is the, you know, what is the sleeping position, or what is the practice position? What is the what is all of these details that you need to focus on so that you succeed? That's the practical aspect. I focus on that. And also, because it's important, the mindset. You cannot ask to project if you just know the methods, but your mindset is off. And so you need to be in the right mindset. You need to have a mindset of someone that is, for example, not scared. If you're very afraid of astral projecting, then, you know, if your fear on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 6, which is quite a high fear, that's probably going to be an issue for you when you try to then practice it. You're going to get to the state where you're ready to project, and you're going to freak out. You're going to put the headphones down. You're like, oh my God, I was this close, you know? So you need to work on fear. This is what we do in the program. We work on fear. We work on the mindset. We work on all the potential aspects of the mind being in the way. Sometimes the mind can just be like an annoying, you know, monkey chattering away like, hey, are you doing this correctly? Maybe you should try this. Oh, are you relaxed enough? There's a lot of things that the mind is trying to do. And we have to learn how to silence the mind and how to get into these states. And so controlling the mind, controlling the body, controlling the energy body, controlling your schedule, controlling your your life in general to make space for this practice, because this practice will need to be as frequent as the way that you would go to the gym and work out to get muscles, or the way that you learn a new sport. You need to do it frequently so that it becomes second nature, so that it becomes something that you get really accustomed with. If it's just something that you do on the weekend, once a week, just like a hobby, it will probably not work very well. You will not get very far. You need to do it on a consistent basis to actually see results.
Yeah. I wonder if when people ask Drew, they can go into the future. Like,
yes, they can go into, you can go into the probable future. And it's the same when we talk about the Akashic records, you know, reading the future, getting information about the future. The future isn't written in stone. It is an ongoing process of that is constantly being built as we speak. And there is a very probable future tomorrow, you know, and maybe next week and the month after. But maybe what's going to happen in, you know, 100 years from now, that might be way less probable, like way loose. The energies that built up that future is you know, under construction. And so you can visit a probable future, and you can see what maybe what the city would look like in that future, or what you would look like, or maybe find an answer to something, or totally possible. And you can also go to the past as well. But with the past, that's more like solid, you know, that's happened. It's not a probable past, it's a real past. However, because we live in a multidimensional universe, and this is something that you have to learn when you ask to project, is that it's not a linear process of past and future and present. It's like a multidimensional universe where there's parallel timelines going on at the same time. So your higher self would be then incarnated into different cats or Florentines around in different dimensions, living a completely different life, having completely different appearances, but parallel versions of you in different time zones, in different types of life, with different types of purpose, with different learning experiences, everything different, but in parallel, happening at the same time. And this is something that, for example, I've had a couple of experiences where I've been able to, where I've been visiting, not by choice, but sometimes you have these experiences where you just end up somewhere, like, okay, where am I? And in this one experience, I was I was supposed to be in my home. I was supposed to be going out in my own bed, but I was suddenly in a different bedroom. And I walk around this very small wooden house. And the first thing I always do when I get to a new place is to look myself in the mirror and see what I look like. You know, it's always interesting. And I was a completely different person. I didn't look anything like myself. And when you ask to project, you also get these downloads. Like, your intuition is very, very powerful. You just like know things. You just get a knowing. So I start to get those downloads that, hey, you're not in, this is not you. You're now in a parallel version, visiting a parallel version of yourself that has a completely different life. So I was like, oh, this is exciting. So this is another part of my higher self incarnate in this place. What is this place? So I started to explore. I bump into a little guy that was, I think, my servant. That's what I got from him. He was my servant. He was like helping in the home. Very short, very almost a midget-like kind of guy, speaking a very strange language that I couldn't understand. So I was like, okay, I don't know what you're saying. I'm gonna go outside and check out the what's happening out there. And as I go outside, because I want to see where am I, you know, what is this place? As I go outside, I notice that, you know, things look pretty similar, like to how things are on Earth, like trees and houses. But somehow the scales are a bit weird. Like, there's small trees, big house, confusing. And then I see this huge giant that walks towards me and then passes me. And I've never been into giants. I'm not the kind of giant kind of guy, like into looking after giants and what they're doing. So for me, it was like, what the hell? What is this? A giant? And I looked this. I was staring at this giant with in a shock. I was like,
yeah,
what the hell? And this giant was looking at me like, dude, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, he was just passing by, like no big deal. And I was just very surprised because I wasn't expecting that. And then later on in that experience, I learned that in that reality, there were giants and there were midgets and there are like all kinds of sizes of beings living and coexisting in the same society. And it's normal. There's no like, there's nothing. It was harmonious. There was no fight between or anything. They were just living there. And it was normal in that world. And so, yeah, you can visit these alternative worlds and understand how expansive consciousness is and the universe and how much more there is and how we live in a small little bubble where we think this is all there is and there are aliens are really far away. Actually, they're everywhere, you know. You just have to shift frequency. You're gonna end up in a different alien world instantly.
Exactly. Do you think, let me see, Nostradamus, for example, maybe he astrode into the future because he definitely had visions, but we don't know how he got there.
Absolutely. I think, there are a couple different states. Astral projection is one of those states where you can explore, you separate from the physical, you go out and explore. But then there's also things like, channeling, remote viewing, where you are able to sit, meditate, and you can sort of download information to yourself from, you can focus on something, you start seeing images, you start maybe smelling things or, sensations come to you, information come to you. And that way you can get information, you can start reading the Akashic records. So you can read things from the future. Like I'm sure Leonardo da Vinci, he was the one writing, drawing helicopters and stuff like that, flying machines, which was like way beyond his time. And I think that's the kind of things that you can do when you tap into the Akashic records and you start getting information about things that hasn't even happened yet because you're accessing a future reality or maybe a parallel reality where that reality is already in a future state. And that's another thing to mention, that when you ask to project, you can shift your frequency into the future, into the past, yes, but you can also go to different dimensions that are at different evolutional level. So you can go to a place where the people living there haven't even invented fire, and they look at you as like some god if you appear there and you fly around. And then you can also go into a futuristic astral city where everything is like, like next level technology, flying cars and healing machines and really evolved societies.
Yeah, it's all amazing stuff. If anyone's got any questions, please put them in the comments about anything to do with astral traveling or any questions you've got at all. Just, put them in the comments. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
So I see one question here, which is about my favorite personal experience. That's one of the questions there. So, I think I always tell people that there is never like this one experience. Usually it's like a collective of experiences that just makes that like aha moment where you understand how there's so much more, and it just brings you that perspective of expanded perspective. But if I were to pinpoint one experience that was more kind of emotional and meant something more to me than seeing giants, for example, it will be this one experience where I met my spirit guide, and I was prepared with my questions. So it's always important to have like, a couple questions with you when you meet your spirit guides, because usually your time when you explore, usually your time is quite limited because you don't know when you're going to get sucked back into the body. It can be, you know, in 5 minutes, it can be in 10 minutes, it can be in 1 minute, it can be in 30 seconds, you don't know. And so because of that, you want to make sure to have really good questions with you in the order that you want them to be answered first, right? So I go ahead and I made the intention to meet my spirit guide. And then as I'm walking into this forest, I turn around this corner and there was this beautiful hovering woman hovering above the ground about this much, you know. And she, I just felt like, yeah, she must be her. So like, hey, are you my spirit guide? She's like, yes, I am your spirit guide. I'm like, great, this was easy. And I'm like, oh, I have so many questions. Okay, the most important question, what's my mission? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to do in this life? Why did I incarnate? You know, like this question has always been like important to me. And so I thought, I'm going to ask her this. And I also predicted that she was going to say something like, yeah, you know, you have to do something like change the world, like save the world, like heal people, poverty, you know, something like that. That's what I was thinking that she was going to say. However, she said something completely different. She said, you wanted to incarnate because you wanted to learn more about, or she went, no, the right word was that she said, you wanted to experience and learn about love and relationships. And that was like, that was it. Like, that was what I'm supposed to do. And I'm like, wow, okay. And then that takes some time to process. What does that mean? Because love is a big word. Relationship is a big word. You know, like love to, as a romantic relationships, is it love to other people, no matter, you know, what, a friendship, a family member, what is it? And I think it's like all of that. It's like, it's, there's so, if you think about it, when we are here, if you were to be here on this planet alone, if you suddenly tomorrow you wake up and everyone is gone and you look out the streets, there's no people, you check your messages, no messages, and you know, you fly around the world and there's no one left. And somehow you also know, in a magical way, you just know that no one was ever going to come back. So there's no hope for anyone to come back. And also there's no animals. There's no one, just you. That's all there is, right? But you still have every single mansion and every single car and every single destination to travel to. And somehow there's restaurants with food serving constantly. And so you have all the money in the world. You have everything the world has to offer, but you have nobody to share it with. How would your life be? You know, would you like to live that life? Probably not. You probably feel very depressed very quickly. That's how I feel when I think about that. So I realized that, you know, life is all about relationship. It's all about people. And without relationships with people and love, there is no point to any of this stuff.
True.
Yeah.
That's very true.
So I think that's one of my favorite experiences because it made me really reflect internally on things.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, if anyone's got any questions, please put them in the comments. We've been talking about do you call it astral traveling or astral projection? What is the right term?
There is no right term. It's like astral projection, astral travel, out-of-body experiences. You can use all of those different words for it, different sentences. It's a very old ancient practice. The more recent sort of scientific word for it is out-of-body experiences. Yeah. But it can sometimes get mixed up with people having out-of-body experiences from other reasons. Like, for example, you can have an out-of-body experience when you're in an accident. I have a friend who was in a car accident who just appeared out of his body. And so the body can just eject you sometimes out of the body. That's also called an out-of-body experience. But when we talk about specifically astral projection, you know, it becomes more specific that it's the practice, it's the conscious way of doing it rather than just other ways.
Yeah, very interesting. So if anyone would like to contact you and We'll have to get your website, your details for everyone. But we have another question. Through the Vow TV wants to know, what was your favorite thing you have learned about yourself while astro projecting?
That I am much, much more than a physical body. That life is much, much more than what we see around us.
Yeah.
I think that is my favorite thing, because then it brings back all that magic. You know, when you're a kid and you're like, you look at the world, you're a child, you know, look at the world, and it's like this magical place, and there's no limitations to what's possible. And then you grow up and it's like, oh, everything becomes kind of mundane, like, oh, everything's so limited, and you have to go to work, and then you have to go home, and you know, when you start expanding and you see what's possible and how many realities there are out there and stuff, it just really brings back the magic of what the universe has to offer. And it just makes things, makes you feel limitless. There's like limited, unlimited potentials to everything and to yourself.
Mm. Yeah. And, have a thank you, some thank yous. Yeah,
thank you
for joining through the Vow TV, and thank you to everyone watching. So this is your website here?
Yeah, that's the one, elasticperception.com. And I also have it underneath my my name here. I'll put it there.
So I can see
it. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it?
It's just not there.
No, okay. But yeah, it's the correct, the one that's there, elasticperception.com. That is the right one. If you go to that website, you will be able to see a video that explains a lot of these things and talks about myself and really anything that, if you have any questions about what it is you're going to get yourself into, how the program works, all of that stuff will be explained in this video. And you can also just skip the video if you wanted to and just book a call with me. And then we'll have a one-on-one call where we just talk about, you know, why you want to ask project, what you want to do with it, how it's going to help you. And we just talk about all the details so that we find out if we can really work together and I can really help you with your personal situation. Because it's important, because we work on a very personal basis, we need to have a call to just sit down and just kind of talk about what you want to do and how we can approach that the best way. So it's a 1-hour call, and it's a fun talk just to talk about these things and really see what's possible for the person.
That's great. Well, thank you for joining us. It's been a great show. And thank you everyone for watching. Have a lovely night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching.
Through the Vow TV. Thank you for watching today. You can find information on our psychics on our Facebook page. Please leave them a review on their pages. Hope to see you again soon.